They were more than uniforms. They were more than print. They were power. The Black Cross nurses marched in white, not to beg for mercy, but to bring medicine and dignity where the state refused to. The African Legion stood in formation, not as soldiers of war, but as guardians of pride. And in the shadows of empire, a newspaper called The Negro World crossed oceans, slipped through borders, and told the truth in three languages. These were the pillars of the UNIA. Not just symbols, but systems. Together, they healed the body, defended the vision, and spread the word. This is how you build a nation when the world tells you not to. If you haven't already, we invite you to follow us on your favorite platform so you never miss a story. Black Cross Nurses, African Legions, and the UNIA Press. To build a nation, you need more than a dream. You need people ready to protect it, heal it, and speak for it. The UNIA wasn't just words and flags. It was discipline. It was structure. It was system. And nowhere was that more evident than in the institutions it created. Institutions that not only served the people, but embodied the very nation the world refused to recognize. This chapter explores three pillars of that invisible nation: the Black Cross Nurses, the African Legion, and the Negro World newspaper. Each one had a purpose. Each one had a uniform. Each one sent a message. We are ready. The Black Cross Nurses, dignity in white. You didn't need to see the red, black, and green to know the UNIA was nearby. Sometimes all you had to see was a woman, head held high, uniform pressed, moving with grace through the slums, the hills, or the sugarcane fields. That woman was likely a Black Cross nurse. Founded in 1920, the Black Cross nurses were more than a medical corps. They were revolutionary caretakers trained in hygiene, nutrition, public health, childbirth, and emergency care. At a time when many Black people were denied access to hospitals, these women provided critical health services in neglected communities across the Caribbean, Africa, and the Americas. But beyond their service, the symbolism ran deep. Their uniforms were modeled on the Red Cross, but with an African insignia, reclaiming a space where Black women had long been excluded. When they entered a home, they brought more than bandages. They brought sovereign dignity. They were trained not just to care for wounds, but to inspire, to show Black girls what power looked like in the form of a healer, to teach entire communities that health was not a gift from government. It was a right that could be self-administered. The African Legion, marching toward sovereignty. The African Legion was the UNIA's disciplined, uniformed male division. Not a militia, but a visual declaration of readiness. Founded to serve as the movement's honor guard, security, and ceremonial force, the Legion was made up of Black men trained in drills, protocols, and tactical unity. They didn't carry weapons. They didn't threaten violence. But when they marched, people paid attention. With sharp uniforms, synchronized formations, and symbolic regalia, the African Legion made it clear. The African race would never again be seen as helpless. They paraded down the streets of Harlem. They stood guard at UNIA conventions. They escorted dignitaries and served as protectors of Liberty Halls across the globe. They represented the future African army, not of conquest, but of defense. Because no self-respecting nation could exist without the ability to protect its people. Their motto was simple: one God, one aim, one destiny. And when they moved, the world saw what destiny looked like, with a straight back, a sharp salute, and a banner that read, "Africa for the Africans." The Negro World, the voice of the movement. No movement survives without its voice. And the UNIA's voice was loud, clear, and global. It came from the pages of the Negro World. This revolutionary newspaper was printed in three languages and distributed in over 40 countries. It was banned in many of them. Why? Because it taught Black people to think freely, to know their history, to question their conditions. It published everything from liberation poetry to anti-lynching reports, editorials on African independence, women's rights columns, and cultural pride essays. When Black children read the Negro World, they saw stories of kings and queens, scientists and soldiers, all from their own lineage. When enslaved descendants in Panama or Nigeria held it in their hands, they felt the hum of something bigger, the connection to a global movement that saw them not as labor, but as legacy. And when authorities tried to ban it, smuggle it out, or burn it, the people read it in secret, memorized it, passed it on. Because when truth is illegal, memory becomes a weapon. Institutions as resistance. The UNIA's genius wasn't just in its speeches, it was in its systems. With the Black Cross nurses, it created care. With the African Legion, it modeled defense. With the Negro World, it controlled the narrative. Together, these institutions told the world, "We are not a movement. We are a nation in rehearsal." These weren't symbolic gestures. These were foundations of freedom. In a time when most Black people were denied education, citizenship, healthcare, and dignity, the UNIA provided all four, not through charity, but through infrastructure. Final reflection. The flags may have faded. The marches may have stopped. The Liberty Halls may have gone quiet. But the legacy of these institutions remains carved into the soul of Black resistance. The Black Cross nurses walked so that modern public health movements could run. The African Legion marched so that sovereignty would never again look impossible. And the Negro World printed words so powerful, they still echo in the global Pan-African movement today. Because when you build a nation, you don't just raise a flag. You raise people. You raise systems. And then you raise the truth until the world can't look away.